Now, friends, we return back to this very important section in 1 John, the 4th chapter. Now, we are in this particular area that is called God is love. We have three great definitions of God in this wonderful little book. God is light, and that was in the first chapter down through the second verse of the second chapter. Now, the very heart of this epistle is God is love. And that began with the third verse of the second chapter, and it goes through chapter 4. And then chapter 5, that we'll be coming to shortly, is God is life. And so these are the three great definitions that are given of God. And they constitute the division of this very marvelous book. Now, beginning with chapter 4, we have what some have called a parenthesis. Maybe it's not quite that, but it is certainly a red light that is put up, a caution sign, a stop, look, and listen sign, that this matter of love must be done with judgment and knowledge, and that we are to love believers, but we better be sure that the believers are not false teachers, and that, as he's made it very clear, we are to prove the spirits, and that there are false prophets that are around that are teaching false things. And in John's day, of course, there was the Docetic and Cerinthian Gnostics, and they denied, actually, the humanity of Christ, and in so doing, they actually denied the deity of Christ also. And they made him a very strange, weird individual. Now, God's people, for some strange reason, have always been credulous and gullible. And there are many believers that will fall victims, as Dr. A.T. Robertson, the great Greek scholar years ago, put it, the latest fads in spiritualistic humbuggery. Well, there's a lot of that going around in our day. And he spends that time to give us that warning to beware. And a false teacher will deny the incarnation of Christ. Don't tell me the virgin birth is not important. Somebody says, can you be a Christian and deny the virgin birth? You cannot. That's impossible, because the very mark of a false prophet or a false teacher is at that very point. And when you destroy the virgin birth, you destroy his death for sins of the world upon the cross and his bodily resurrection. In other words, you wreck the Christian faith. And that is the reason that the virgin birth has been the place where there's been so much of denial in our day. And that, of course, reveals a false teacher immediately. And then the child of God is given the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God is to lead and to guide us. Now, beginning at verse 7, he comes back to talk to his little children again about this great subject of love. Now, we went over part of this, but it'll be good for us to have a good, healthy review today at verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and every one that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Now, all through here, the word love is the agape love. Agape love is the highest form of love, and it's above sex, and it's above human relationships. That is, you can love your wife, or your mother, or your father, or your children, or your kissing cousins, as we said, but that is not really what John's talking about. He's talking about that which is supernatural. It's not sentimental, and it's not sexual, and it's not social. That is, it's not love of the friends that you delight in being with. It has to do with the kind of love that God loves, and this is a verse that I'm afraid that some of us have misused. Now, maybe you haven't, but when I was a student in college, I used this verse in courting a girl at that time. And I gave her verse 7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God." But the kind of love I was talking about, friends, wasn't the kind that John was talking about. I can assure you that. And I sure did misinterpret that. And I must confess, I didn't have a very lofty purpose at that particular time. So that this can be misused. Beloved, let us love one another. That is, believer. And I want to say this is the acid test. This is the very thing that tests whether you have a real, genuine coin or not. That's the way coins are tested. And here's the way believers are tested. And it's something, by the way, that we need to, I think, emphasize today, that we are to prove the spirits. And therefore, we are to love the brethren. Beloved, let us love one another, that is, believers. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Now, that is approaching it from the human side. When you meet a person who says he's a believer and you find out he loves you and loves the brethren, he's a born-again child of God. I am so thrilled here in this radio ministry. I think people say things and letters to us that they probably would not say to us personally. But we get many letters where people say, "Dr. McGee, I love you." Well, I want to tell you I like that because of the fact that they tell me why, that we've been listening to you. A family wrote me and they said, "You brought our two children to the Lord." Well, that to me is an evidence that these are real born-again children of God that are writing to us. And then he says, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." Now, that's going to occur again in verse 16, that God is love. And twice that is given here. And Dr. Ironside has a very remarkable story here relative to this. And I'm going to pass on to you his story because I think it reveals in a very wonderful way that only Christianity reveals a God of love. Look at the images of the heathen and the pagan world today. And here is Dr. Ironside's story. He said years ago a lady who prided herself on belonging to the intelligentsia said to me, "I have no use for the Bible or for Christian superstition and religious dogma. It's enough for me to know that God is love." Well, I said, "Do you know it?" She says, "Why, of course I do." She said, "We all know that, and that is religion enough for me. I do not need the dogmas of the Bible." And then Dr. Ironside said, "How did you find out that God is love?" "Why," she said, "everybody knows that." And then he answered her again. He says, "Do they know it yonder in India? That poor mother in her distress, throwing her little babe into the holy Ganges to be eaten by filthy and repulsive crocodiles as a sacrifice for her sins. Does she know that God is love?" And then this woman came back and said, "Oh, well, she's ignorant and superstitious." And then he came back with this. He says, "Those poor, wretched blacks in the jungles of Africa bowing down to gods of wood and stone and in constant fear of their fetishes, and the poor heathen in other countries, do they know that God is love?" And then she said, "Perhaps not, but in a civilized land we all know it." But then he asked the question, "But how is it that we know it? Who told us so? Where did you find it out?" And she said, "I don't understand what you mean, for I've always known it." And then he gave her this. "Let me tell you this," he said. "No one in the world ever knew it until it was revealed from heaven and recorded in the Word of God. It's here and nowhere else. It's not found in all the literature of the ancients."